The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to Dorf on Sports right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Lots and lots of things going on in the sports world. From Kentucky Derby action to NHL hockey playoff action. And oh yeah, NBA basketball playoff action. And I'll tell you what, man, I know I got a guy, my partner, he's a big Cleveland Cavalier fan, and I got to give credit where credit's due. They seem to be the most indulged, the most ready, the most inspired, if you will, to be playing basketball right now. They have really taken care of business, and I got to say, Jeff, right now, I think Cleveland is playing their best basketball. And no better time to do it than right now in the postseason, brother.
And they're picking the right time. They're picking the right times within the games, too. They're winning those three-minute games at the end because suddenly they learn to play defense, and it's really exciting. And there's a lot of playoff action left to go, though.
Yeah, a lot going on. Obviously, we're going to break it all down. He's Jeff Rich. I am the Dorf Man. Tons to talk about. We're just getting warmed up. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back in just a few, everybody.
Pollution from ground runoff is a growing problem in our country. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about how you as a homeowner can help reduce it right after this.
You know what's true and what's not. And what's true is that the best laid plans need the strongest tools. And no tool has been up for more challenges than True Temper. These lawn and garden tools live up to their name again and again. Refined, perfected, strong, and durable. Innovative tools since 1808. You know what you need to get the job done. You and a tool that is absolutely true. True Temper.
Pollution from runoff, also known as non-point source pollution, comes from many different sources. It's caused by rainfall or snowmelt moving over and through the ground. As the runoff moves, it picks up and carries away both natural and man-made pollutants, finally depositing them into lakes, rivers, wetlands, coastal waters, and even our underground sources of drinking water. As a homeowner, you can help by controlling the sources of pollution in your own backyard. Make sure you keep your septic tank in good working order, use fertilizer sparingly, and sweep up any excess from driveways, sidewalks, and roads. Never dump anything down storm drains. Direct roof runoff away from paved surfaces and bare soil. Check your car for fluid leaks, recycle your used motor oil, and make sure that you pick up after your pet. I'm Danny Lippard with tips for today's homeowner.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
This year, I want to grow vegetables I can actually eat.
I talk with Kat about watering and soil. I even suggested she plant beans because they release nitrates that nourish the soil.
Ace is the place to learn beans really are the magical fruit.
Now through Monday only, print out the coupon at acehardware.com and get 25% off on regular priced item under $50. Offer valid through May 9th at participating stores. Limit one, exclusions apply, see coupon. Must present coupon to redeem offer.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. Nyquist had a good beginning. Lonnie, the Japanese Colt, is away last. Dancing Candy on the far outside is out well, and so is Gunrunner from the inside. Nyquist between those two. Outwork is close, and then comes Shagoff. And they're followed by more Spirit on the far outside. Whitmore is after that. In between horses is Tom's Ready. Down toward the inside, Oscar Nominated next with one lap to run. And then comes Mahesto, followed by Destin to the inside. Mohamed is racing about 10 lengths off the ladies down on the inside of horses, moving around that turn and right alongside of Brody's Cause. 5 lengths back to My Man Sam, Exaggerator, and Kent DeSormo, well off the pace here. And then comes Motom. Lonnie's gone by a few. Creator is next by another 5. Then sudden breaking news. And Trojan Nation, the maiden is last in the quarter mile, was at 45 and 3/5 seconds. And Dancing Candy wings up the backstretch in front, setting a solid pace which could help these late closers here. Dancing Candy in front by 2.5 lengths under Mike Smith, with Gunrunner running in second on the inside. The undefeated Nyquist is right there, third to the outside. Rake of another 2 to Outwork in fourth. Victor Espinosa is down on the rail with Whitmore. They're 4.5 lengths off the lead. Then it's Tom's Ready, Destin, and Oscar Nominated on the inside as the field makes their way around the far turn. 3/4 win at 1:10-2. And it is Dancing Candy in front by a neck. And here's Florent Giroux and Gunrunner, and they take the lead on the far turn. Nyquist is right in contention, and he's next to Gunrunner. And then it's a 4-length gap back to Destin, who has rallied into third. Mohamed is coming on too, and they're into the stretch, and it's Nyquist. Nyquist has taken the lead on the outside. Gunrunner, second at the rail, 5 lengths back to Destin in third. And they come to the final furlong. Exaggerator is closing in. Nyquist to catch with a 16th to go. Gunrunner, Exaggerator on the outside. Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Well, they say it's the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. Jeff, how do you feel about the Kentucky Derby?
I love it. You know, it's always got that bottom of the ninth, tie game, game seven feel because it's such a short event. And there's, so, you know, the people complain about the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl has gotten out of hand. But the day-long event that NBC creates out of this for 2 minutes of action, but that 2 minutes of action is it's a really big payoff of that.
Yeah, no, I agree, but it's just kind of crazy when you think about it because there's all this preparation, like you said, hours and hours of all this other stuff going on, and then 2 minutes, man, that's what it is. It's 2 minutes. They say it's the best 2 minutes in sports. Look, they're four-legged athletes. I don't know, man. I think the most exciting thing about it is the names of these horses, to be honest with you.
It's a lot of fun. I think the names of the horses, the way that the people get costumed up for the event, I think it's a cool thing. Horse racing doesn't have a lot of events. And unfortunately, the Kentucky Derby, the nature of it being the first leg of the Triple Crown, it kind of goes against the trend in sports when you have the novices check in for 1, 2, 3 events, and it's really dictated based on if the horse that wins that first one wins that second one. So you're not rooting for the underdog. A lot of people find themselves rooting for the favorite. A lot of people put money on the favorite, and a lot of times it pays off. Street Sense comes to mind. Last year's American Pharoah, you know, and now we got Nyquist, who's going to go into the second leg as the favorite. And, you know, after going 37 years without a Triple Crown winner, do we go back to back?
Yeah, that'd be pretty wild when you think about it. That on that note, that would be pretty crazy. But Nyquist, I don't believe, has lost a race yet. So this is a horse that knows no different, to be honest with you, than winning. So who knows, man? Anything's possible. We all know it. It didn't happen for, like you said, 37 years. But maybe we have 2 years in a row now.
You know, it was back to back. It was 38 years ago and 37 years ago. I believe it was 77 and 78 that we had back to back winners, and nobody since. Hey, I got one last question on the horse racing. I know we got basketball to talk about.
Yeah.
How much credit do you give these jockeys? You know, you've had some jockeys win some Triple Crowns, but you kind of forget their names over the years if you're being honest with yourself, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, the bottom line is I guess you have to be able to whip that horse at the right time or whatever they call it. Bottom line is, yeah, you have to have a good relationship, I think, you know, but truth be told, if your horse has the best wheels, pardon the pun, but if he has the best wheels, they've got the best wheels. And if they know when to turn it on, they know when to turn it on. And it sounded kind of like Nyquist just had that thing, you know, he was just kind of waiting in the wings, and then bam, took his moment and seized the moment. So,
and to be fair, you don't list the pitching coach's name next to the Cy Young Award winner. I mean, you know, you give the athlete credit for what the athlete does.
Yeah. I mean, and it's crazy. We're talking about this like as if they were LeBron James or Kevin Durant or somebody like that. But the truth is, you know, I think you got to give credit where credit's due. And yeah, you have a guy that's riding this horse, but a lot of this is on the horse, man. I hate to say it, but you know what? The horse could run backwards, for crying out loud. They could go the wrong direction. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many things that could go on with this horse. For them to stay the course and stick with it, got to give credit where credit's due, I guess.
Right. What do you think of what Steve Kerr's doing without his best horse thus far? I mean, you know, are they going to – see, I think that – Kerr and Stephen Curry have all the integrity in the world. If they think he's ready, he's going to play. I don't think that he'll force it. I don't think that they're chasing down this series that they're still up 2-1 in at this point in time.
Great segue, by the way. But truth be told, look, I think they feel they can get by Portland without Steph Curry. But with that being said, Damian Lillard went off. We know that. He's capable of doing that. I think it's a little easier going off in your own building versus going off on the road. Guys like Aminu, I mean, he played a lot better too. Obviously a big part of the game for them. But truth be told, I still like the Warriors in this series. Even if it goes six, who cares? The bottom line is they are the better team. Usually the better team does prevail. But you know what? You got to give credit where credit's due. They played a fantastic game. They got themselves back in the series to a certain degree. You know, it gives you a little bit of hope. But I think the Warriors are better with or without Steph Curry, to be honest with you. And it's funny because I'm hearing comparisons, you know, in the game. Lillard makes some great shots, don't get me wrong. But then all of a sudden you start hearing Jeff Van Gundy and saying, oh, wow, that's a lot like Steph Curry. And what about if you traded these two guys? Would it make that big of a difference? You know, like that's when people start getting a little crazy with their ideas and whatnot.
Let me ask you about, you know, putting the alphas aside for a second, the number two options. Where do you think C.J. McCollum ranks with the rest of the league? You know, he's kind of hidden there in Portland and then buried a little bit under Lillard, but that team's success is that entire backcourt. It's not just, you know, it's not just one guy there.
Oh, that backcourt's probably the second best in the league to Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, if you ask me. So you're seeing just about the four best or four best guards and two of the best tandems at guard in the NBA, but we're obviously not seeing Steph Curry, and I think that it would obviously even things out quite a bit because Damian Lillard isn't as effective if he's got to chase Steph Curry or Klay Thompson all game. And if you only have to chase Klay Thompson, it's a little different. So it takes a lot of that defensive pressure off of Damian Lillard where he can go out and be more of an offensive threat.
And then going into the front court, I mean, look at the game that Draymond Green had, even in defeat. I mean, these guys are stepping up. Klay threw in 37 the first game without Steph. So there's a lot of depth on that team, and it really shows when you don't have Curry on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, Livingston has held his own. You know, the guy's a good player. I wasn't in at the end of the ball game, but truth be told, look, I'm not worried about the Golden State Warriors getting by Portland. I think they get by them. And again, if it takes six, it takes six. But I expect them to rebound. They got it handed to them. Let's be honest. You know, I mean, Portland wins the game by about 12 points, but it felt like a 15-point game for the most part. They separated themselves pretty much and were able to kind of get away in that fourth quarter late. But got to take a quick pause for the cause. I see we're up against it. On the other side, we're probably going to change gears, hook up with our professor of sports, John Poulter. So keep it close. He's Jeff Rich. I am the Dorf Man. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Lots going on. If you want to get involved, 1-800-878-7529. Those are the digits. Hit us up on Twitter at @ByJeffRich, at @DorfOnSports. Be sure to check us out here at Sports Byline USA. Without further ado, we are going to jump out to the phones, hook up with, well, he wears two hats for us, to be honest with you. We talked to him about baseball. We talked to him about NHL hockey. None other than our professor of sports, John Poulter. John, good morning, man.
Morning, Andy. Good morning, Jeff. How are you guys today?
Great, man. No complaints. We live in Phoenix, Arizona, where, you know, it's pretty much paradise for the most part. But lots going on in the sports world. Lots going on with the NHL playoffs. Lots going on with Major League Baseball. Hopefully we get there. But let's start in the NHL playoffs. And lots of surprises, to be honest with you. Yes or no, John?
Yeah, surprises to some extent. I guess perhaps the biggest one is Pittsburgh and Washington. Although I did say when we started these playoffs that Pittsburgh was probably a team to watch, I didn't really expect them to give Washington the run that they have given them. And we all know that Washington came out of the gate real quick and continued to keep up that pace and ran away with the President's Trophy over the course of the regular season. And they had a must-win game Saturday night in Washington to stay in that series. They won the game 3-1. And it's now a 3-2 series lead for Pittsburgh with Game 6, the potential deciding game, coming up in Pittsburgh. So perhaps that might be the biggest surprise. I think St. Louis and Dallas might be a bit of a surprise as well. Dallas, the best team in the Western Conference for most of the year and winning first place in that conference. And St. Louis have played them very tight. There's been a couple of overtime games in that series as well, and St. Louis find themselves in the same position as Pittsburgh, an opportunity to clinch in Game 6 at home. I guess the other two series are kind of what we thought they would be. Tampa Bay up 3-1 over the New York Islanders after two wins in Brooklyn. I keep saying Long Island because they've been there for so many years, but obviously they're in Brooklyn now. San Jose,
hey, John,
3-2.
Hey, John, let me ask you something about the Islanders. I don't think that they played a regulation, you know, a 60-minute game at the Barclays Center since the playoffs started. Can you attribute you know, all of these overtime games that the Islanders are playing for why they might just be running out of gas against the Lightning, talent notwithstanding?
Yeah, it's a good possibility, Jeff. It is hard to measure, though, because the Lightning are missing some of their better players through injury, most notably Steven Stamkos. So they're running out of steam, I think, but you know, perhaps they're playing against a team that not only is still talented, even without some of their best players, but perhaps the guys that are filling in for them are a little bit more rested, and that just might be adding to the difference in stamina. But I just think the Islanders are perhaps a level below Tampa Bay in terms of their ability and their consistency top to bottom. I don't think that's really a surprise, but it could very easily have been 3-1 for the Islanders after these four games. So it's been an interesting series. I've seen parts of several games, and it's been back and forth. It's been very wide open for playoff hockey, and it's been interesting to watch.
Hey, John, let me ask you this. San Jose, I watched that game. When they win, they just seem so dominant. Am I seeing the right thing, or am I just kind of taken by storm by what they do? But when they win, it seems like they're in so much control, and it just, to me, it seems like they're the best team out there. Am I crazy?
No, I don't think you're crazy. I think there's some inconsistency with San Jose, and I think we've seen that all season from the standpoint that they were a much better team away from the arena in San Jose than they were at home in San Jose, and that's very unusual in hockey. And it even carried forward into the playoffs in the first series against the LA Kings, where the majority of the games were won by the road team. So I don't think you're seeing things when you see that. It is a good, solid team. There's some good veteran leadership there. There's some good talent there, and guys like Thornton, Pavelski, Martin Jones has come along as a good first-string goaltender after being a backup in various places for a few years. And Burns on the defense has been a powerhouse. And I just think it's a good team. I think it's well coached. I think Peter DeBoer has proven that he's a good NHL coach, and he's finally got a team with some talent to show what he can do.
Yeah, I just got one more point, and then let's switch into some baseball, unless Jeff has something to add here. But, you know, we always talk about in other sports, like the NBA, for instance, you know, a series doesn't start until the road team wins. Well, in hockey, I mean, I know there's got to be a home ice advantage, but it seems like more often than not, there really isn't a home advantage on that ice.
Yeah,
what's
that's very
the deal?
True. I mean, it's been very much a home ice disadvantage this year. For instance, in the East, in the first round, 12-10 for the home teams. In the West, it was 9-16 for the home teams, and so far, in the third round, it's 5-4 in the East and 7-3 in the West. I think the big thing there now, Andy, is that most of the rinks now are pretty much a standard size. And going back in history, when each team had its own rink that was built to specifics, and I'm thinking about places like the old Boston Garden, the old Memorial Auditorium in Buffalo, they were all kind of quirky little rinks. Now they're all pretty much standard, so it's not as big an adjustment for a road team to adapt to playing in somebody else's rink because it's very much like their own rink. Baseball still seems to have several ballparks that are a little bit different, either in terms of the amount of foul territory, the distance in the power alleys, etc. I think hockey now is so much more standardized that home ice advantage is, I'm not going to say disappeared, but it's certainly been reduced.
Hey, John, if you don't mind me shifting to Major League Baseball and kind of staying on the same topic, the Atlanta Braves, you know, kind of came into our eye because they were playing the Diamondbacks this week, but a record of 1-14 at home in their final year at Turner Field. Are they going to say good riddance to this place or what?
Oh, I suspect so. I suspect they're going to have some kind of a ritual at the end of the season to get rid of it. Looking at the stats this morning, the Braves have the worst percentage in all of Major League Baseball at .241. They've got the worst home record at 1-14. They've scored the least runs at 87, and they've got the worst run differential of -61 in all of Major League Baseball. So
could they be a 55-win team? I mean, how are they looking at being historically bad?
Hard to tell because there's so much youth there, and the question is, you know, are they putting the faith in the right youth? And if they are, perhaps after a half a season, they'll mature and they will start to play a little bit better. The question is, how much of a hole are they going to dig early on? And, you know, they're just not playing very well. And Washington and the Mets, I think, are much better teams than most of the other teams in that division. Miami and Philadelphia still within striking distance of Washington and the Mets, but the Braves are 11.5 out, so that puts them 9 games behind the fourth-place Phillies. That's a lot of games to make up when we're only in the first week of May.
I'd say you could put a fork in them already, but speaking of a strange division, let's talk about the National League West a little bit. You know, San Francisco's on top right now. The Dodgers are right there, a game behind. The Rockies, too. The Diamondbacks under .500, 3 games behind, and San Diego at 3.5 behind. Is this just a bad division?
Well, I knew you were going to go there because I've had the same thoughts myself, and we chatted a little bit about this last week with Shane. You know, in terms of how bad that division is, I was at the ballpark yesterday to watch the Dodgers and the Blue Jays, and I mean Kershaw was doing what Kershaw does, and that's to be expected that the Dodgers would win. But having watched the game on TV on Friday night and having watched the game in person yesterday, I'm a little puzzled as to how the Dodgers are a 500 team because they seem to be a pretty solid team. Friday night's game turned basically on one pitch that Joe Blanton threw to Kevin Pillar, and that turned a tie game into a Blue Jays win. But other than that, I think the Dodgers have looked good. The Giants, I can't understand what's happening in San Francisco, that the on-the-field talent in the positional area is good, it's young, it's experienced, they've beefed up the pitching staff over the last year and a half. Bruce Bochy, probably one of the best managers in the Major League. I'm not really sure why the Giants are struggling at 2 games over .500, and my theory with that whole division is that someone at one point is going to go on a 12 out of 15 or a 15 out of 20 run, and they're going to separate themselves from the pack, and that's probably what we're going to need to see to decide it.
You know, at the age of 42, Bartolo Colon hits his first major league home run. He spent a lot of time in the American League, but he's also not a very good hitter. Being that James Shields served that pitch up, how much does his trade value plummet if you're the San Diego Padres?
Interesting question, but if you saw the highlights yesterday of that game, the inning afterwards, or at least in Shields' next at bat, he got a single off Colon, and Colon applauded him simply because they're part of the pitchers' union, I guess. But I think Shields' value probably doesn't go down very much because his talent is definitely on the mound. It's in a leadership role. Maybe he's a candidate to go to an American League team anyway, so I'm not really sure it has much of a disadvantage to him, Jeff, at this point.
Hey, John, we're up against it. Appreciate you taking time out, man, and we'll catch up next week. Great stuff.
Yeah, my pleasure as always. Have a good week, guys, and look forward to chatting next Sunday.
John Poulter, a professor of sports, breaking it down. We'll be right back. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. We're going to get back into some basketball and talk some NBA. Keep it close. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Geico presents the Shazam 15, featuring the top 15 Shazam songs in the U.S. for this week. Get out your Shazam app now and check it out. Plus, have fun and interact with Geico. Gecko yourself and share it with friends. Watch your favorite Geico video. Get a quote. Shazam now for the full list and experience more with Geico. The Shazam 15, brought to you by Geico. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Way early this morning, Brad Higdon shared a major spoiler alert from everyone's favorite hit show, sad emojis to express his feelings about the plot twist, and a playlist he made to drown out his sorrows? Dude, oversharing alert. Brad, Geico has something worth sharing with those who haven't befriended you, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance at geico.com. So stop moping about the post-apocalyptic world and start saving in the real world. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE, 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483 or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me, as he is each and every week. You can get involved, 1-800-878-7529. Those are the digits. Hit us up on Twitter, at by Jeff Rich, at Dorf on Sports. Be sure to check us out here at Sports Byline USA. A lot going on. We just got done with John Poulter, our professor of sports, breaking down some NHL hockey, a little bit of baseball. I am surprised, to be honest with you, at how bad the National League West is. And John made a good point. The Dodgers, I mean, on paper, there's no reason they should be a 500 team. I'm sure Fred Wallen has his thoughts and reasons for why they are what they are. But truth be told, talent is talent, and they have more talent than a 500 team.
They're underachieving. That's been the story for a long time, and it's going to continue to happen. And you know what? You know what's not surprising is that the Diamondbacks and the Padres are at the bottom of the division. I think that Colorado has some, you know, their young bats are just doing what they're supposed to be doing. And as long as their pitching can hold serve, they could stay competitive in this division if San Francisco and the Dodgers aren't going to pull away. But we just haven't seen any evidence that that should happen yet. I mean, you know, you watch these series that they play with Arizona, and, you know, the Giants don't look like they're a much better team than the Diamondbacks, if they're even that.
I agree 100%. It's been pretty head-shaking, if you will, because I just don't get it. It's a bad division. But I do want to get into some basketball. We were kind of talking about this during the break a little bit. This Miami-Toronto series has gotten a little bit more interesting, obviously, with Whiteside and him getting out of the game. You know, Valanciunas went out of that game, too. No big man, really, in game three for that. And you kind of saw small ball. Toronto is better at small ball than Miami. And I'll give Dwayne Wade a lot of credit. But I also know that there's a lot of mileage on Dwayne Wade. And if we expect to see Dwayne Wade continue this type of performance, I think we're kidding ourselves, to be honest with you. And I think Miami, in a weird way, has done very well. I looked at them before the series, and I was like, oh, this is a pretty good basketball team. Now I look at them, you know, you take Whiteside out of the mix, and they've lost a lot, Jeff.
Yeah, and you know, they're still playing without Chris Bosh, and that – do you think that he might not ever play again? You know, he might. It depends on what's right for him, and I'm not going to get into, you know, the medical specifics with Bosh. But, you know, Dwayne Wade is back to carrying this team by himself like he did after Shaq left before LeBron and Bosh arrived. So, and I just think he's got too many miles on the motor to do it by himself. But he's still something to watch. He really, you know, he's not what Kobe was this year or what Kobe's been over the last couple of years. There's still a little bit of spark to come from D. Wade, but it certainly isn't the same. I mean, he's been in the league for a long time, and he played 4 years of college basketball. Those miles do add up.
No, I agree 100%. And, you know, I just think we have to give Toronto a little bit of credit. You know, this is a team that lost both first games, first round, second round, but yet they're right here back to kind of being the team that, you know, is in the spot where they should have an advantage. And we also saw Kyle Lowry break out of his bad funk. And maybe, just maybe, he's ready to turn the corner and be a guy that can perform in the postseason. Because I'll tell you what, he had a fantastic game three. Not a good game, a fantastic game three. Hit clutch shots down the stretch, a very big ball late in that game to give them 3-point advantage. So I think if Kyle Lowry gets going, it makes this team a lot better. It'll make DeRozan a lot more comfortable. Carroll will start hitting that 3-pointer. Powell will come in and do some damage. Joseph can come in and do some stuff. I mean, there's a lot of guys, a lot of them pieces on that team that are pretty good. And I think Dwayne Casey's done a great job trusting his guys.
Oh, he's gotten the most out of his scrappy players, which takes the pressure off of DeRozan and Lowry and Carroll when you got Valanciunas cleaning up and Patterson doing what he does. You know, Kyle Lowry is a last 2 minutes guy. You know, we talk about who do you want to have the ball, and I don't necessarily agree that there has to be one alpha that has to take the last shot in every case, but you put the ball in Kyle Lowry's hands down the stretch. He's perfect from the line. He was 5 of 8 from beyond the arc in game three, and they go into Miami and they say, all right, the road team has won. Let's go. And, you know, I know that they lost the game in Toronto, but I think that they really set the tone in the series. I mean, game three is not as pivotal as a game five when the series is tied at 2, but it still means a lot.
Oh, it means a lot, especially when you're down 0-2, then it means a lot more than when it's 1-1. We all know the numbers and everything, but you know what? The numbers don't lie, too. Game threes, I think if you win a game three, it's something like 72 or 74% of the time you're going to win that series. And then obviously it's going to increase with a game five victory. I think it's something like 80%, somewhere along those lines. But truth be told, look, you want to go out there and compete and battle and give it your all. And I'll tell you what, Toronto does that very well. You know, they could have put their heads down, and you know, two series in a row they're down in their own building right away, but yet they come back and they battle. I mean, is that a reflection of Dwayne Casey, or is that a reflection of just these guys wanting to go out there and prove everybody wrong finally?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I feel like if I say it's Dwayne Casey, and Dwayne Casey's done a great job, he should be the coach of the year in the NBA. I mean, I know that you're gonna have to look at 73 wins in Golden State, but you got a split leadership there, at least this season. So I think Dwayne Casey's the coach of the year, but I want to give this Toronto team a lot of credit. They've really played for him, because a coach is only as good as the players that buy into his system.
No, that's a good point. I mean, look, bottom line is you have to have everybody on the same page. Everybody's going to want to have the same common goal, and it looks that way for Toronto. With that being said, Miami, you know, got out in that first series or the regular season. They averaged like, I think it's somewhere around like 41 assists as a potential. Okay. And then in the first round, you know, it was like 38. This series, they're down to 24, and they're definitely not passing the ball nearly as well. The movement has been kind of stagnant. They're not getting those open looks. Is that all because of Toronto, or is that maybe just the law of averages and, you know what, Miami's coming down to earth a little bit?
Miami's come down to earth, sure. I mean, you know that they couldn't play at the level that they were playing at their, you know, in their peak condition this year. But, you know, Toronto doesn't have any stars. They have to play at both ends of the floor. They have to play 94 feet of basketball. And, you know, it's definitely affecting Miami. You know, what do you think of is there anything to say about the Atlantic-Cleveland series, or is it just, you know, let's acknowledge that it happened and move on?
I mean, look, like I told you in the beginning of the show, I've been most impressed with Cleveland thus far throughout the postseason. They've handled their business. They've done what they're supposed to do. You know, look, Detroit played them pretty tough, but they got by them untouched. Atlanta, you thought Atlanta was going to win Game Three. I mean, let's face it. They played a great game for about 40 minutes, and or maybe 38 minutes, and then all of a sudden the wheels fell off. Cleveland got the lead, and it was like Atlanta just fell apart. So they're outmatched. At the end of the day, they're a little bit outmatched.
You think that maybe there's a little bit of give up in the Hawks just because of the frustration of watching these 3-point balls go in? I mean, you know, J.R. Smith from every corner of the floor. You know, I'm not going to compare him to the guy at Golden State, because I think it's disrespectful to the people in Golden State because they've done it for so long. But the way that the Cavaliers are hitting the threes, and they're hitting the threes because they're getting open. They're getting a lot of open shots, and you know, sometimes those open shots don't go in, but when they do, you're going to dominate.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are uncontested, like you're saying. I mean, they are hitting a lot of shots. They're breaking records. We all know that. And it's good to see that not just Golden State can throw in three balls, to be honest with you on that note. But we're noticing, and this is a thing that's been going on. This is not, like, news here. This is something that's been going on for a while, and everybody's got to be able to shoot the three ball. You know, you see these big guys moving out. Channing Frye, I mean, that's a perfect example. He did the same thing for the Phoenix Suns. He'd come in and he'd be a flamethrower for them. You know, what's interesting about Cleveland is they're getting it from guys that, like, I didn't even know we're still in the league. You know what I'm saying? Like Dante Jones, is that guy? I didn't even know he was still playing. But yet,
you know, they signed him on like the last day of the regular season. Hey, don't feel bad about being in the dark on that one.
No, I'm just saying in general. I'm making a joke. But my point is they're getting it from places that you probably would not expect them to get it from. First and foremost, and you need to have that if you're going to win championships. We all know that guys need to step up in certain situations. And bottom line is. The basket looks like an ocean for them right now. They're hitting everything. They're getting up and down the floor. I think they play pretty solid defense, too, at times. But right now, I think the Cleveland's mentality is, look, we can outscore you. And we've got more guys that can put the basketball in the hoop. And that's the way we're going to go about this. Because if you look at it, this series has been all up and down. And a lot of three-point shots, a lot of uncontested shots, a lot of fast breaks. Not a lot of defense, Jeff, to be honest with you.
Not a lot at all. And you know, some of that's the ball movement, some of that's just fatigue, and some of that's Atlanta just not being a very good ball club.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I do want to get into the OKC-San Antonio series a little bit, but we'll do that on the other side. We're coming up to the end of this hour, so hour number two will be on the horizon, and we will talk a little bit about that probably to start out. But in general, I've just been very impressed. Cleveland handles their business. They've been fantastic, and you're seeing those big three work together really well.
Well, they've never lost a playoff. They've played 11 playoff games together to date, and they haven't lost any of them. Granted, those are all against Eastern Conference foes. I mean, you take everything from a year ago. Kevin Love didn't play in the Chicago series. The Cavaliers lost a couple of those, and obviously they dropped four in the finals that where you didn't have Kyrie Irving for three of those games. So this team is still kind of learning to play together in this playoff atmosphere, and you know, it's almost like playing Savannah State in college football, the way that these early Eastern Conference playoffs are going. And I kind of look, and if the Heat were to come out of that, you know, that bottom bracket against Toronto, they'd have an easy road to the finals. And I don't think it would do any justice for them to not be prepared for a San Antonio or Golden State or perhaps one of the underdogs, not very likely.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to stick with San Antonio or Golden State coming out of the West. I think that they're the best. You know, we'll see we'll see if Oklahoma City has something to say about it. But truth be told, I think that they don't play. I want to get into this on the other side because I have a lot of thoughts about Kevin Durant.
I want these third round series, these conference semifinals to go six, at least in the West. I don't really need to see any more Eastern Conference basketball than it, you know, is mandated by the schedule.
Well, yeah. And I mean, look, at the end of the day, we're all waiting, you know, we're waiting for Cleveland to play either San Antonio or Golden State. And a lot of people probably would rather have it be Golden State based on the year, but based on the year, San Antonio had one heck of a year as well. I mean, it's like 1A and 1A plus. You know, you're looking at two fantastic basketball teams, and the best matchup, obviously, is going to be Cleveland playing one of those two teams. But I guess we're up against it. We're going to have to take a quick pause for the cause. We're going to wrap up hour number one. Hour number two is on the horizon, like I said. And I do want to talk about OKC San Antonio because I got a lot to say about Kevin Durant, Westbrook, and how they go about their business. But keep it close. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man, Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish.
Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy price. Prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
All righty, everybody, welcome back. Final segment here of this hour on Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Got to thank John Poulter, our professor of sports, for hanging out with us, breaking down Major League Baseball and NHL hockey playoff action as it is all unfolding for us. Hey, I just saw this, kind of interesting. Jimmy Butler, not a happy guy right now with rumors about maybe trade potential. If I'm the Chicago Bulls, Jeff, I do not want to make Jimmy Butler mad. He's like the best thing they have going for them in a lot of ways.
I would go even farther than that. I would make a statement by putting Derrick Rose on the trading block. And, you know, I know he's from Chicago and I know it'd be disheartening, but I'd let Jimmy Butler be the alpha on that team for sure.
Yeah. I mean, truth be told, that guy is a baller and he's durable. He gives you his minutes. He works hard. If I were him and I heard about trade rumors, I would be very upset as well. And I would probably say, look, you know what? Trade me. Get rid of me because you guys have a sinking ship and I'm the best thing you got. So sometimes you got to kind of bite your tongue, yes or no.
I wonder if there's a deal to be made between the Lakers and the Bulls, because I think that Jimmy Butler would be just what the Los Angeles Lakers and Luke Walton need.
Yeah, I mean, look, he is a very good basketball player. Can put the ball in the hoop, plays defense. Not a lot of guys play both ways the way he does. So, truth be told, I think any team could find a spot for Jimmy Butler, to be honest with you, Jeff.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody, we got to take a quick pause for the cause. Hour number two is on the horizon, so keep it close. Remember, we're live every Sunday, 8 to 10 a.m. Pacific time. It is Dorf on Sports, and you are hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.